Unfortunately, none of the passages that he sent meant much to me. I had read them through quickly, as though I didn't care. Later, I would meticulously study the text in the insomnia hours that followed. As you might have suspected, when Avila's books were silent, so was Nick. That evening, his simple messages of, "Hey, man," and then, "How have you been?" were like the sound of an expected drumbeat. It felt like the tension released as the Tchaikovsky cannons were fired. I had expected it. I knew it was coming. But it still rattled me each time and was followed by the period of familiar unease. What if he stumbled across the passages written about me this time? As I stared at the text messages, I thought back to the most haunting passages he had sent me yet. I couldn't see myself in any of them. I tried to force myself into the descriptions, but it never worked. Avila hadn't written me in. Yet. But some of her words started to get under my skin. I realized what true darkness was within her, and wondered at how she must have transformed, transmorphed, into some kind of twisted woman. Like this one. "My long strands, gray beneath, but dyed brown, then black, then auburn, will cling to the small hairs on your arms, stick in the crook of your elbow like spider webs, and creep you out each and every time one slithers from the baseboards and up your body." Scarlet Moor and the Missing Volcano. So weird, right? Or this one. "Does the orange and freshly oxygenated blood on my hands appease you? Should I mutilate myself some more? Should I scratch through another layer of skin on my palms and grind them into the gravel to be worthy of your touch?" Scarlet Moor and the Embargo of Eden. The plots of the Scarlet Moor novels were becoming progressively darker. The descriptions were becoming more eerie and warped. Was Avila crumbling under the pressure? Was it the result of something dark planted within her that was starting to take root? Were the grotesque depictions a result of her desire to seek retribution on me? It had occurred to me that she may have just enjoyed writing in that style, but that left my ego unappeased. I locked my phone without responding to Nick and placed it face down on the kitchen counter where it had been idling. I sauntered back to the couch, trying to convince myself that I wasn't distracted by the memory of the dark passages that Avila had penned and that Nick had transcribed. I watched the remainder of a B-rated sitcom rerun that barely managed to keep my attention. I felt the groggy haze of the sleeping pill starting to take hold, even though my mind was wildly active. Each synapse and cognitive function was trying to pull up those selective passages and work at deciphering them again. My memory was searching for some previously undiscovered clue, some hint as to the revenge Avila was undoubtedly plotting against me. The show ended, and I turned the television off. I was out of whack and so desperately wanted this mania to end. But I could see no way out of it now. I silently hoped for a night of dreamless sleep as I picked up my cell phone on the way to the bedroom. As my routine dictated, I set my phone to be charged, checked my alarm, and shuffled into the bathroom to brush my teeth and wash my face. I ran through the motions quickly and without thought, but my mind was still active. The servers in my 1,000 computer brain were whirring, spinning, and just getting started for the night. As I settled into bed, I tried to focus on my denial. Maybe she'll never write me in. Perhaps she had written it all out in some other story, but refused to publish that work. Or perhaps she had cut out and braided each line into a thick rope that she will use to hang me. Avila would find that appropriate. The monstrous vision of Avila I had constructed in my mind was capable of that. Based on her last novel, that dark matter in her mind had exploded outward. I wouldn't put it past her now. She was a femme fatale with creative license, and she was sharpening her pen just for me.